Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Man's Best Friend and A Number One Air.
People getting a kick out of Junior torturing me by telling me to tell three disturbing stories from my past on the air at 5:30 this morning. Just another reason why, if you're not waking up early and listening at 5:35 when we hit the air, you are missing out on some of the top-shelf premium content the Ticket has to offer. All right, a few observations about our world. Number one is the new announcement from Burger King. Cheetos and chicken fries together at last, introducing new Cheetos chicken fries.
Yeah, that's what those...
And here's a picture of it there. It comes in a Chester the Cheetah box, and it looks like what look like cheese sticks in there. But
looks
they're
pretty good.
Chicken in the shape of fries that are dusted with Cheetos.
That's why you had that press conference with the king and that cheetah from the Cheetos company.
It's... Come on. What
mean?
Do we do? Well, I think we have... What we have is a big hat... filled with Idiocracy food items written on a slip of paper. And we pick three out and then combine the three. Cheetos.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Chicken and fries.
Yeah.
Sounds like a more perfect union to me.
Okay.
Me too.
This is what the founding fathers were talking about?
Yeah. Yes, they were hoping for this
in
day.
Order to make a more perfect union.
Yeah. We need Cheetos, chicken, and fries.
And finally, we have the technology to develop what the founding fathers had intended for this nation.
You can also now get the hot dog at Burger King.
Really?
Yeah.
Serving hot dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Dusted in Funyuns?
Maybe. Someday.
Okay. Now we have a very sad story. Turns out it is not true. Remember when this news organization known as The Ticket reported that a Chinese baby gorilla was going to be named Harambe McHarambe Face? Not true.
You broke that story.
I broke that story. I broke it based here and best here. And it was reported by news outlets like The Mirror and The Metro. But it turns out The Mirror and The Metro were going with another primary news source of the Boston Leader, which sounds like a legitimate Boston news website.
I've never heard of the Boston Leader.
You don't subscribe to the Boston
Leader?
Part
of the Louisville Leader. They keep up with the farmers every week.
Well, the Boston Leader is a fake news site. Mm. And that's the problem, is because people design news sites, they look real, and the good ones, the good trolling ones, will have stories that are somewhat plausible. So you go with them. And then if one other news organization, a legit one, goes with it, then you just assume that it's true.
Tomorrow, will you be retracting the Cheetos, the Cheetos chicken fries story? Is that from the Boston Leader also?
No, that's from Burger King's official Twitter. And they have an ad campaign. But yes, I probably will be. So it turns out there will be no Harambe McHarambe Face at a Chinese zoo.
I think that's a good thing.
Why?
That's a stupid name.
It's a great name, Harambe.
It doesn't honor Harambe.
Yes, it does. If everyone is honoring Harambe.
If the new Chinese gorilla were just named Harambe, that would be an honor, but not McHarambe Face.
Yeah, and like Bob said yesterday, enough of Harambe. We get it.
What do we get?
We've had some funny laughs about Harambe, but... Okay.
Who's laughing about it? I think people are serious about it.
No, they're not.
You don't think so?
No. You're shouting Harambe at the U.S. Open, or you're voting for Harambe for your to be your homecoming king. It's just, it's run its course.
Why did that take off?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the funny name, Harambe. If he was named Joe, it would not have taken off.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Harambe. It's such a strange name. And then we have this.
Let's go back to the macaroni hot dog.
What?
That's okay.
This is incredible. According to researchers from the UK, and that's the United Kingdom, so I mean, that's pretty serious. They did a study and found out that the perfect amount of time to stare at someone before it becomes too creepy, there is a rule you should follow.
Die.
She just hit genius there for like two phrases. That is just awesome.
Can I ask you something about this?
Yes.
What do they mean? Are you staring eye to eye, or is this person walking by and you're staring without them knowing?
This is staring eye to eye. They have to be aware of you staring at them. They actually found through clinical trials that, is that right? Clinical trials, clinical tests?
Mm. Yeah.
You have to do it in a clinic?
Mm-hmm.
That it is 3 seconds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. More specifically, 3.3 seconds, but that wouldn't... 3.3 seconds!
Man, I would think if you were at a restaurant and there's a hot girl one booth over, and you're staring at her and you lock eyes, if you keep staring for 3 more seconds, I think she's calling police.
I don't think so.
That seems like a long time.
All right, look at me, Giorgio. Let's say that you and I pass each other in the wild and I look at you. You ready?
Go.
That's about right.
That was 1 second you looked at.
No, look.
That was like
that was
1 second.
That was 3 seconds. Okay. I counted in my head.
No, do it again. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Go.
So I'm walking by. You're walking past me and everything. I look at you.
Oh, you're looking. I thought you were doing George again.
No, I was doing you.
Oh, okay.
Time.
Okay, do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That
was
you
like,
or to
that
George?
Was like 1 second. Do it to me and I'll time it.
Okay.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. See, you can't even make it 3 seconds.
No, you made it.
I did make it 3 seconds.
No, I'm looking at the clock. You made it like a second and a half.
Yeah, you're bailing out because
I'm
it's
not
uncomfortable.
Bailing out.
You're bailing.
No, I can stare at you. All right, I'll stare at you for 50 seconds.
No, I know, but what my point is that didn't the second and a half to you feel like 3 seconds or more?
No, I was counting in my head, but apparently I was counting
too
fast.
Okay,
I was doing the Mississippi's in my head.
He's officially timed.
I'm officially timed.
Okay.
You guys look at each other, right?
Okay.
Now. Now it's 3 seconds.
Isn't that long?
Yeah, that's long. That's long.
That's
I'm telling you,
rule.
If you stared at a woman in a restaurant for that long, she's calling police.
Well, yes, particularly the way you and I were looking at each other with the real cheesy smiles on our face. That was awkward. But Lisa Gale got it right.
She did.
It is.
Die.
Finding more and more about how genius this song is by the day.
Guys. All right, thank you. That's the ODEX 642 on the ticket.
Thanks, man.
A couple of Cowboys who are Muse in the news with the Great Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All Pro Foundation Repair.
I have no idea, Craig. Why don't you go ahead and do it?
Okay, we'll be right back.
He's really mad. High school football scores.
Why do you have to immediately go to commercial?
Because that's what John McKay did.
All right, we start off with it's official. Lakewood Theater is now an official historic landmark.
Thank God.
We've been battling over this thing for forever. It's a 78-year-old theater there in Lakewood. It's a really cool-looking place. But, you know, those historic designations are a mixed blessing for the owners of them, because it really restricts the things you can do with your own property. And it's usually kind of forced on you by a bunch of people who just hear about an issue and sign a petition, and then they're back to their lives. Meanwhile, you got to own the thing and try to make money out of the place with limited possibilities now. But the owners, by the way, this was done without the owner's blessing. Somebody else did this. Now the owners say that they're on board, and they're just glad that it's resolved one way or the other, because when a property's in limbo, it's really hard to do anything. But there was talk there for a while of busting it up into 3 separate restaurants inside. Mm. But now hopefully they won't have to do that. So I like the Lakewood Theater. I love the Lakewood community, and so I'm glad to see that issue's been settled.
You know, I love old theaters. If you know anything about me, you know that I love old theaters.
Never knew that.
I know a lot of stuff about you, and I never knew that.
So why can't they just, and again, I'm spending the owner's money, but refurbish it? And I would think that you could draw a lot of significant acts to a beautiful old theater in the middle of a community where there is money in Lakewood. I would think that thing could sell out decent shows every Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's not another Granada.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Know. I've actually seen a concert at Lakewood Theater.
You saw Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper played there.
One of your faves.
And I went and saw her, and I was she bopping. Girls like me just wanted to have fun that night.
Sure.
Getting my white wine on, having a mommy's night out. Yeah, and it was a great venue. I thought it was a great venue, musical venue.
I have been loving it.
I don't know if they still have the organ there. You know, they had like the old time, you know, when they used to show silent films back before they added a soundtrack to the organ soundtrack, you would have someone playing live.
Dun, really? Dun, dun, dun,
well,
dun.
That's not
dun,
the only dun, organ dun, song dun, there is. Dun. You can't run away from me. That's the title card that just went up on the screen. Then back to the black and white action. Yeah, name, I think most people can only name like three organ songs. That one, and then whatever it is that that Dracula plays.
Well, that was one of the really cool things about going to a basketball game and Knicks game at the Garden a few years ago. Just organ music.
Yep.
Really, really cool throwback scene.
How did that start?
Because an organ fills a hall better than a piano or any other instrument.
I guess that's what it is you can make an organ loud, whereas just you couldn't mic a piano.
Yeah.
How about just have like a... There it is. Who made it that Dracula was an organist? Why? That's such a weird detail to add to a vampire. That he plays the organ.
I have been loving it.
Did you guys ever know anyone who had an organ in their house like in the 70s?
That Dracula played? No.
What?
An organ in their house? No, only in the church.
Not a pipe organ.
Only at a church, basketball arena, or baseball stadium.
Yeah, the organ with had all sorts of different buttons on it. Oh, yeah, I used to go over and play it all the time.
So you did have a friend that had... Yeah.
I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
I was just wondering if that was my imagination, that was kind of popular in the 60s and 70s,
thing,
is to have the little console organ there in a house that... Look like something they launched the Mercury series with. You know, it's like way too many controls on it. I never understood that. And then you have to start having the...
Didn't you want one, though?
Foot pedals there.
I was always jealous that we didn't have one. I thought it was great.
And then I'd be like, okay, you flip this switch and it's a clavichord. Well, it sounds just like the organ. I don't understand why.
The effects on it weren't great.
Yeah. Very, very limited. It was no Roland... What is it, M1? What was the famous Roland that was like every bell patch in the 80s?
I have no idea, Gordon.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do it then.
Well, congratulations to Cyndi Lauper.
What? Anyway, Lakewood Theater.
That's it.
By the way, they had a movie star that went down and talked to City Hall back a couple years ago about this issue.
That's a childish term, movie star.
You know who it was? On Lakewood Theater's behalf, on the historic designation.
They keep this theater.
We got to keep that theater.
Was it really?
No.
No.
It was, I always kid him about it. I always say, what are you doing up there? Some stunt flying or something?
Bubba?
Burton Gilliam?
Burton Gilliam. Graduated from Woodrow, not too far away from Lakewood Theater.
By the way, he says he wants to come up here and hang out with us sometime.
When did you talk to...
He was at Pat Green's tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you get him up here?
Okay, we'll get him up here.
Why are you holding out on us?
I don't know. Oh, great song. What's wrong with this song?
This song?
Yeah.
On the old Hammond organ.
Yeah.
Murray Hammond organ.
Daryl Hammond.
Hammond now, cheese.
I will confess that the Hammond organ is cool. That is a good sound in the song.
Skip the life and then go.
Other news?
No. There's no other news.
A fun time for the disabled.
Well, did you guys read Robert Wolanski's column about the Trump supporters that showed up at Dallas Morning News?
No.
It was really funny and really good, and props to Robert for it. you know, some people came out and they were protesting because Dallas Morning News, for the first time since 1936, endorsed a Democrat. They endorsed Hillary for president. And as Robert writes, hey, at least they cared enough to come down on their day off to spend a couple hours shouting at the building.
It's terrible.
He says, I do it at least once a week. He said there was around a dozen, by his count, protesters, mostly women, two of whom were Hispanic, and here legally, they reminded me, and they were all in favor of building the wall. So they had a bunch of different signs. There was Women for Trump signs. There was Make America Great Again. And he says his favorite, Mark Cuban, the village idiot, which I assume was a reference to that trade for Rajon Rondo in 2014, but I could be wrong. A few of the protesters didn't want to give their names. Among them was a man carrying a Degenerates for Hillary sign, which also said basket case, in reference to Hillary's basket of deplorables comment from last week. He introduced himself only as one of the deplorables. The boss man came down, that's the editor of the Morning News, and the group asked how in the wide, wide world of sports could the news recommend Clinton and betray Texas and God and Tom Landry? Sarah Legvold called us the Inamedia.
Okay.
I like that. And then Robert asked her, how can you bag on Mike Wilson, our editor here? He's such a nice, well-dressed man. And she said, if he's a Hillary supporter, he's my enemy. And she called him a traitor to his country.
Wow.
And Robert says, well, come on. He's not out there repeatedly saying nice things about Vladimir Putin or anything. And she said, you know what? Putin is more American than Obama is.
You know what we call a person like that? A jag-off.
Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord.
He said the best part was when a woman told me that all the media outlets in this country are controlled by four families. And I told her the Dallas Morning News was independently and locally owned and always has been. And you know what her response was? So they tell you. Yes!
Genius.
Yes!
Making your own case.
This woman's genius. He said they chatted, and then after about half an hour, he asked everyone for a group photo posing in front of the paper, at which point the guy who wouldn't give me his name shouted, the Mavs suck, go Spurs. Anyway, great coverage of the protest down there, Dallas Morning News. And in the latest, you know, 538, they predict Nate Silver. Mm-hmm. He predicts elections. Does pretty well in predicting elections.
Yep.
Chances of winning, he gives Hillary 64.2% chance of winning and Donald 35.8%. That's not what he says the vote is going to be, but those are chances of actually winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw where I think a Clinton News Network poll had Trump up by 5 points.
I saw that.
What do you think about them apples, huh?
You know, there is part of me that agrees with George that Hillary's going to win by a landslide. But I think this is such a wild card election. I honestly believe anything can happen. I think America doesn't know which way to go with this, and they dislike both of these candidates so much. P1 came up with, I don't know if he came up with this, but he sent me an email about Hillary, and he calls her Hitlery.
Yeah, winning.
I think both of these candidates are such wild cards and so unlikable. I really think anything could happen in this election.
So we got 8 weeks left until Election Day.
Oh, the other thing was Trump was up big in Ohio in the latest polling.
Very key state.
Yes.
So what about their health? You know, all the pressure to release their medical records and so on. And Dr. Oz with Trump is going to air today. They taped it yesterday. And Trump had his medical report from his physical last week, and a little bit uncomfortable because at one point Dr. Oz says, you know, so you're, you know, slightly overweight.
No, I'm
well,
not.
I would expect that muscle. From a fraud doctor like you, Dr. Oz.
I don't know if Trump turns on Dr. Oz. I doubt he does. But Trump has to take a cholesterol fighting drug. And to all the Hillary people who want to jump on, see, he's unfit for president.
Right.
High cholesterol, that kills people. Mm. You need to shut up about that. Everybody's got health issues when you're getting close to 70. So Yeah, now Hillary actually has released a little bit more medical information than even Trump has so far. You would think it'd be the other way around. But Trump may release his medical information here pretty soon. But the Clinton campaign released information about Hillary's health and Tim Kaine's health, her running mate. But did you see what Bill Clinton said on Charlie Rose's show? And if this is accurate, this clip that I have, it really is shady the way that Charlie Rose's crew edits out Bill Clinton's comment. Because Bill Clinton misspeaks, quote unquote, and says that this happens frequently with Hillary, referencing her having to be dragged into that van. And then listen to the version that aired. This was taped on September 12th. Hold on a second.
That video that was taken. You wonder if it's not more serious.
Than
dehydration.
She's been... if it is, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors. Because it's frequently... Not frequently, that's not... Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated.
Okay, so that's what he said. Mm-hmm. Frequently. Well, not frequently, but rarely. It happens. Now, this is the way...
dehydration.
She's been... if it is, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors. Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her.
So they edit that out.
They edit it out frequently.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have a problem with that because Clinton corrected himself. He said frequently, well, not frequently.
But so don't you leave the correction in there, his own correction, instead of opening yourself up to this, which is, you know, here's
that they're shilling for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you have this perceived liberal bias.
Yeah, I guess if he goes ahead and corrects himself, you don't need to correct
it. Right. Right. So why are you editing it towards Hillary's favor?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, birthdays today.
Let's do it.
Norm Crosby is 89. Tommy Lee Jones, drummer of Motley Crue, he is 70.
Ticket Zone.
He is not. Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones from San Saba.
Yes. Oh. And when I was frequently doing movie junkets, I never interviewed Tommy Lee Jones, but he was rumored to be the worst interviewee that you could possibly get if you were on a junket. Because he wants no part of any of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see where he'd be difficult. He's a tremendous actor, although George hates him because of his stance on fracking.
Let's get behind the shale.
I don't hate him.
He's on those commercials with kids playing flying kites behind him.
I don't hate him.
He's always shaling for fracking.
I just think those are hilarious. I think they're really funny.
But. Movie director Oliver Stone is 70. That's a movie director that George believes lock, stock, and barrel, anything he puts out.
I like his docs.
Heidi Montag from The Hills is 30. Jason Terry turns 39 today. Turning 55 is... And turning 78, he has not gotten sick and he has not passed away. It's Gaylord Perry.
Yes.
Hey, we got to play that in the corner.
The great spitballer.
We will have to honor him in the corner with a review of Got Sick and Pass Away.
All right, that's Muse. We right now, Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Load Bearing Wall Pros.
Thanks, Craig. Well, we have a special, special honor to bestow upon someone. It's time to name our Muser 78-year-old P1 of the week.
Hmm.
So we have one for every age?
Yes.
All right.
Haven't you been here for the show? You know we do this every week. We go through all the ages and then name a P1 of the week for each age. And in today's 78-year-old P1 of the week, we give the honor to one Gaylord Jackson Perry.
The Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Famer. Pitched for 22 years, from 62 to 83. Is that 22 years?
That's longer than that, isn't it? 72? No, that's right, 82.
62 to 83, though, is 21 years.
22 seasons.
22 seasons, yeah.
11,
314
14,
wins.
16.
How many strikeouts do you think Gaylord Perry racked up in those years?
Well, he's in the 3,000 club.
Yes, he is. 3,534. 3.11 ERA. Baseball Hall of Fame in 1991. And he was a guest of the ticket at Ticket Stock one year.
Our headliner.
He was our headliner. And that was a big deal for us who, you know, had baseball consciousness in the 70s. Gaylord Perry was such an amusing figure because he pitched so dirty. He was known for doctoring baseballs, throwing the spitball. Do you know he wasn't even ejected for any illegal practice until his 21st season in the major leagues? Here is a guy who was known for, you know, that was his rep. Yeah. He would even use the rep to intimidate batters, even if he wasn't doing anything illegal.
Mm-hmm.
He loved to make you think he was doing something bad to the ball. But he wasn't ejected for it until August 23rd, 1982.
Wow.
Yeah, a little fun fact there. There is a couple of funny stories about Gaylord Perry. One of them is that he actually reportedly approached the makers of Vaseline about endorsing their product, and they turned him down. Then there's the story of Gene Tennis. Is that his name?
His catcher.
His catcher, who caught him while he played for the Padres.
Yeah, one of about 500 catchers he had because he was traded so often.
He said, quote, "I can remember a couple of occasions when I couldn't throw the ball back to him because it was so greasy that it slipped out of my hands." He said, "I just walked out to the mound and flipped the ball back to him." Gosh. And then there was the famous story. Do you know the story about him and hitting? You know, he's a horrible hitter, like most pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1963, his second season, his manager, Alvin Dark, was said to have joked, "They'll put a man on the moon before Gaylord hits a home run." And then on July 20th, 1969, which is a date that will live in history, because that was when the Apollo 11 spacecraft carrying Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, landed, and they landed on the moon. 1 hour later, Gaylord Perry hit a home run.
That is incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I don't know, man. I just think space is super gay.
6 years after his manager made that famous claim.
That's awesome.
They'll put a man on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run.
Yeah. Did you know he was in Dancing with the Stars, too?
He was not in Dancing with the Stars.
He would be a terrible contestant.
So, but all of these things are things that baseball fans may know him for. Ticket fans know him for something very, very different. I believe he was the inspiration that created the Bear Trap of the Week, when we used to have that weekly segment of uncomfortable situations that you find yourself just kind of stumbling into. You think nothing's bad's going to happen. All of a sudden, you are shin deep in a bear trap. And that's what happened to me. We had Gaylord Perry on at Ticket Stock, and I made a joke, and he quickly turned it serious.
Now, what's with the name Gaylord?
My father had a good friend, had a son that...
hated God?
No.
Okay.
He somehow got sick and passed away, and he named me after him for his friend.
Way to go, Gordon.
First, Gaylord.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, way to bring the room down there. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Watch out for that bear trap.
What?
So terrible.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Terrible.
Of course, we make him so much more.
We've made him Cajun Gaylord
Perry. Yes, we've exaggerated it so much with my dad had a friend who had a son.
That's hated the Lord. Oh, we all love Homer. Homer's so good. No, no, no. He got sick. I'm Pa Hawaii.
That's not that much of an exaggeration, really.
He didn't get so solemn.
Yeah,
we make him get
him for, got sick and passed away.
See, he's in the middle of telling a story. We make it seem like it's like,
but
got sick.
If we listen to the clip again, you can hear the emotion in his voice as he, at the very end, he goes, "For my frown."
No, he just doesn't know English.
For his frown.
For frown.
Now, what's with the name Gaylord?
My father had a good friend, had a son that...
hated God?
No.
Okay.
He somehow got sick and passed away, and he named me after him for his friend.
Way to go, Gordon.
Gaylord. Oh, yeah. Gosh, way to bring the room down there. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
See, he told me it was okay.
Oh, it's okay. Frail.
He kind of got killer shake voice there a little bit.
Or
frail.
Oh,
what's a frown?
How frown, how son? Hey, and you always make it. Well, who hated God?
That's
you
what
make me have way too much attitude.
You were such an attitudinal youngster at the time.
Whatever. Yeah, that was like 2 years
and
ago.
You were always going to show the old man that he was old.
Who hated God? Oh, hooray for Homer! Hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, no.
Yeah, we turned him into the guy in the radio station, and no, brother, we're out there. No.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Friend.
So, happy birthday.
Doesn't sound like killer?
Boy's friend.
Yeah. He's 78 today.
Happy birthday.
And then we talked about the Hill Country in the fabulous 815 segment. And, Giorgio, we were in Fredericksburg, right, when we visited the field where the famous pie eater incident occurred.
Yes.
And if I remember the story correctly, it was this big kid who punted for the other team.
He punted
for Fredericksburg.
He played fullback, and I think he played defensive tackle. He was huge.
And your coach called him pie eater.
Yes.
And there was a fourth down play, yes, and they were punting.
Yes.
Your opponents were punting, and pie eater's back there,
yeah,
to take the punt. I mean, to punt.
To actually punt, yeah.
To actually punt. Mm-hmm. And you were charging at pie eater, and you had a bead on it.
Me along with Brett Justice, yes.
Okay, made up.
Okay, my God, dude. Come up with a better name than that. That's so comic book fake. Anyway, so you're rushing towards pie eater as he's about to punt the ball, and you could have blocked it.
Yes.
But you pulled up at the last moment because you...
I went to the side because, and I missed it, because all I could see was just how huge he was. And I went to the cartoon of his leg kicking my head off.
And so, your head actually going farther than
right,
the ball.
Right. So I went to the side, absolutely missed it. I mean, I was like behind him. It was an easy play.
Did Coach Saucier lay into you?
Oh, yeah.
You got your ass handed to you after the game?
Yes.
Well, you remember when we were visiting the field that some old man who was walking his dog came across the field there.
I do remember that,
and he recognized you.
He didn't.
And he got into a truck, and it had like the number on the side of the truck. He had a contracting business or something like that. And we called that number to ask if he knew, since he was a local there at that field, if he remembered that game. Because high school football
is
big.
Spare eighth grade game. No one was there. There's like 20 people there.
You remember in our trip through Texas, we actually called the guy. We called him the next morning on the air, and I have the super secret audio of him visiting us.
It's what Pie Eater is doing today and all of that. We should have interviewed him.
But that's what
we
called
should have.
Him. I don't know if he was known as Pie Eater in Fredericksburg.
Well, the old man would have known.
Yeah,
I have the number. I wrote down the number for
him. That was on the old man's truck?
Yeah. It's right there.
We ought to call him right now and ask him about Pie Eater, because he may not know Pie Eater specifically, but he'll remember a 6'4 guy in eighth grade.
Yeah. I'm sure he went on to great football success in Fredericksburg. Hello?
Hello, is this... Is this the old gentleman who was at the Fredericksburg Middle School football field last night?
Yes, I was.
We're the three guys that talked to you for a little bit. We're wondering if we could talk to you just a little bit more, because we're trying to track down a former Fredericksburg football player.
Yeah, I remember you young fellas over there on the old Field of Dreams, where many a football player met his destiny here in the Hill Country.
Yeah, right. Well, I played there back in 1978. For Llano Junior High, and we played Fredericksburg Junior High, and they had a real big guy who punted and played quarterback for Fredericksburg, and his name was Pie Eater.
Well, I don't remember Pie Eater, unless you mean old Jessup Pie Eater, the greatest punter in bat and Billy history.
Oh, you remember him?
Yeah, that's probably the guy. There probably haven't been that many Pie Eaters.
Oh, sure, I remember Jessup Pie Eater. He was going to be the greatest sports legend to ever come out of these parts. But that
is that right?
Didn't quite happen.
Well, why not? What happened?
Well, Pie Eater went away, and never to be heard from again. Some say moved away and became a hermit. And others say he changed his name and moved to a deserted island. There was even one story that had him taking a job as a rigger on a deep-sea drilling platform, and he saved three men after an explosion before he went on to his great reward in the sky.
Wow.
But I happen to know the real story of Pie Eater because I knew his mama.
Really?
You knew his mama?
It seems that Pie Eater was greatly affected by something that happened to him in eighth grade.
What was that?
You see, Pie Eater was known as the greatest punter the game had ever seen. Folks say he had an unblockable punt. Unblockable, that's what they said. And not even an angel made of Jesus could block it. But the Book of Ancestors said that if any man could block Paeta's punt, that man would gain control of Paeta's supernatural abilities and would someday rule the world.
Wow.
I never heard that story before.
And I forget who they were playing, but sometime in the early 80s, and Paeta was getting ready to punt, and some kid got real close, and the crowd gasped. But the kid wasn't able to block the punt, as you would expect. But after that play, something changed in Pie. He grew quiet. Later on in the game, another kid blocked his punt. Something happened with that first near miss that changed Pie forever.
Could it have possibly been in the late 70s against the Lano Yellow Jackets?
Yeah, it sure was. Exactly. That's when it happened. That's right. Because his late 70s, Paeta quit football. He stopped talking. He stopped eating. He left Fredericksburg for good, and no one ever heard from him again.
All because he got that punt blocked against Lano, huh?
All because of the near-miss punt block. It was the near-miss that did it.
Why did that affect him so much?
Because up until that point, Paeta thought he was beyond mortal. And when that kid almost blocked it, he realized he was mortal and he lost his powers, and that's why the second punt was blocked and he left town.
See what you did, George?
So that is what happened.
Wow, I forgot that.
Yeah, and Brett Justice did block the next one.
See there?
And sure enough, it matches.
It matches.
Your athletic ability.
Mm-hmm.
Ruin the life of another man.
Yeah, he realized he was mortal.
God, that's great. All right, thank you for that trip down memory lane. That's the corner.
He got sick and pass away. That's what happened.
And happy birthday, Gaylord Perry.
Yes.
It's 9:35 on the ticket.